Thank you, Brother George. Brother Keith has chosen for his subject the final discourse of this day, Isaiah's Suffering Servants. Brother Keith.
Seems like we're continuing on with our Old Testament theme today. Isaiah's suffering servant. We're all familiar with the prophecies of Isaiah, and we thought that today we would look at a series of four prophecies of Isaiah concerning who he calls the servant of God. And we know that Isaiah has made many prophecies about our Lord Jesus, and our thoughts are going to be along those lines. As we look at these four different prophecies, we'd like to consider the following questions. What does it mean to be called to serve God? Who was this servant that Isaiah is speaking of? What sort of a person was he? Why was he called? What was his mission? And finally, what was the result of his call? The first prophecy we are going to look at, well, we're going to entitle under the topic of called to serve. Called to serve. What does it mean to be called to serve God? Are we inclined to ask sometimes, am I the one you're calling? Didn't you mean to call someone else? Why me, Lord? As we read the scriptures, we find the Bible is full of servants of God who ask these same questions. Consider for a moment Moses. When God called upon Moses to lead the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, remember what Moses' reply was. This is from Exodus 3:11. Moses asked, "Who am I that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Moses felt inadequate for God's service, and yet with God's help and reassurance, he accepted God's invitation to serve, and we know what wonderful things he accomplished. Consider for a moment the prophet Samuel. As a child, the Lord called him four times before he understood who it was that was calling. 1 Samuel 3, verses 8 to 10 tell of this incident. "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time." This is after the first two times he had been called. "And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.' Once Samuel recognized God's voice calling him, he dedicated himself to God's service, and like Moses, he spent the rest of his life responding to that call. Isaiah speaks of another servant who was called. And this first prophecy is in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. So we'd like to turn there, Isaiah 42. And this prophecy is recorded in verses 1 through 6. Isaiah 42, 1 through 6. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his jaw, for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. I, the Lord, have called thee. Now we know that we have been called, brethren, like he called Moses, like he called Samuel, like he called Isaiah, like he calls all who might serve him according to his purposes. And so how should we answer this first question? How should we behave? Isaiah says about this servant in verses 2 and 4, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. In other words, the servant of God will do his work quietly and patiently, without drawing attention to himself. There's to be no recognition in this work, no awards, no fanfare. Just the servant, silent and patiently, persevering in work that sometimes appears overwhelming. But is it overwhelming? Is this call to serve God too much? Isaiah reassures us that God never leaves us unprotected or unprepared. Verse 6 tells us, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful assurance. And in verse 1, behold my servant, whom I uphold. I have put my spirit upon him. This servant Isaiah is describing is special to the Heavenly Father. But who is this servant? Who's Isaiah speaking of? Well, listen to Isaiah's description. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. It sounds a lot like Matthew 3:17 account of Jesus' baptism, doesn't it? And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Isaiah is speaking here of our Lord Jesus. And not only Jesus, but the elect. And what say the scriptures about the elect? We know from the New Testament that the elect is the Christ, head and body. Matthew 24:24 and 31, Colossians 3:12, among other scriptures, assure us of this. Isaiah is telling us that the servant he is called is Jesus, and more importantly to us, he's calling us as well. The second prophecy that we will look at, we might entitle, Sent on a Mission. This next prophecy about servants helps further identify him as Jesus, and it's found in Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 6. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he made me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, Thou Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. The Lord's people have been called to serve God, but it's the call of Jesus which is of greatest importance, because it's through him that salvation is to be offered to all who have ever lived. Verse 6 in this prophecy says that Jesus is to be my salvation unto the end of the earth. As God's servant on earth, this became Jesus' mission, the key to the gospel mission. To be the light of the world speaks volumes. Verse 1 says that people will listen from near and far. Jesus, like Isaiah, would serve his mission by the words that he would speak. And this was appropriate for the word of God. And yet also, like the prophet, the servant's message was not always well received. Verse 2 says, He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. The apostle Paul testified to this in Hebrews 4:12 when he said, The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Indeed, verse 4 prophesies this rejection by Israel, which John would later confirm in John 1:11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And yet, just knowing of this prophecy, Jesus would not hold back from the mission that was given to him, because God reassures him that his apparent failure with Israel meant an even greater blessing to all the families of the earth. In verse 6 of this prophecy, it says that this was a light thing. Imagine such a mission, and yet God assures him this is a light thing that he's asked to do. Jesus was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, to be testified in due time. Jesus knew what to expect. He knew there would be rejection. He knew there would be persecution because of his message. And so it is with his followers all down through the gospel age. We know there will be obstacles constantly before us. Jesus foretold the opposition we would encounter when he said, A prophet will always be held in honor except in his hometown and in his own family. Matthew 13:57. And yet we understand our mission as Isaiah explains it in verse 3. Thou art my servant, in whom I will be glorified. Our mission includes being an instrument that God uses in his plan to bring blessings to all who accept this message of salvation now or in his coming kingdom. The third prophecy that Isaiah gives concerning this servant, we might entitle Strengthened to Endure. Being called to be a servant of God is not an easy thing. And yet Isaiah's next servant prophecy gives us courage that we can endure the trials and tribulations that come our way. And this prophecy is found in Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 11. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the spiders, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have in mine hand, ye shall not lie down in sorrow. We know that the life of Jesus was marked with severe persecutions, even unto death on the cross. He was mocked, beaten, spat upon, flogged, crowned with thorns, and eventually crucified. And yet he never resisted, he never complained, he never looked for an easier way. As he stated in John 18:11, the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And he told us to expect to drink from this same cup, the same cup of suffering. Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, he said in Matthew 20, verses 23. Yes, he's told us that we will indeed experience difficult trials. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Matthew 10:22. Endurance under such circumstances requires help from above. Isaiah paints a picture here of a servant who is in constant communication with God. He wakeneth morning by morning, and verse 4 implies that these servants begin each day in a prayerful attitude. And Isaiah comforts us with the fact that God will open our eyes and open our ears for instruction and for understanding. The Lord God will help me, in verse 7, is a direct promise to his faithful servants that he will always be with them, providing strength to endure. And what a wonderful promise. What a wonderful assurance. The Lord is constantly talking to us through the Scriptures, through our brethren, and through our experiences. It's important that we listen intently and not miss his voice, and not be misled. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Remember, brethren, our strength is in God. The fourth prophecy that Isaiah gives of this servant, we might entitle Victory Through Suffering. Isaiah explains the value of this suffering by God's servant in Isaiah 52, beginning with verse 13. And ending with chapter 53, verse 12. Isaiah 52:13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned away one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to his grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressor. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah's description of the suffering servant explains a lot about our Master and about his true disciples. They were each called by God to serve him. They were each sent on a mission to be an instrument of God's salvation to all the world of mankind. They each demonstrated a steadfast endurance in his service. And they each developed such a close and trusting relationship with God that they could say, like the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Psalm 23:1-4. And yet, despite this special relationship with God, Jesus was belittled and rejected by the very people he came to help. He appeared marred in appearance, not because he was disfigured in any way, but because he wasn't the strong warrior that they expected Messiah should be. Do we see any as less than they are because of their appearance? Isaiah would have us look behind the exterior of the appearance to the reality of the person. But this didn't deter Jesus in the least. He silently carried out the mission that God had given him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 7. How perfectly did Jesus fulfill this prophecy as he stood silently before his accusers and permitted them to put him to death. He was willing to suffer even unto death because it was the will of God who had sent him. But thank God that the servant's mission did not end with his death. For through his suffering came victory. Verses 10 and 12 say, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul even unto death. He was numbered with the transgressor, and as he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." How great was that servant. When God asked for a volunteer to suffer for the redemption of fallen man, he was there. Psalm 40:7-8. He took on a lower nature in order to fulfill God's plan of bringing mankind back into harmony with his ways of righteousness. He suffered silently in carrying out his mission because he knew it was the will of his heavenly Father and would bring glory to his name. And as a reward for his faithful service, God raised him to his right hand of glory, where he will accomplish the mission that he fulfilled so perfectly. Yes, these four prophecies of Isaiah give us a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus and a wonderful example for us to follow in his footsteps. What do these four songs of Isaiah really tell us? First, they tell us that God chooses to call those who would fit into his purposes. If God chooses us, we should not doubt. Those that are called will be expected to work. It's not a call for inactivity. We're to be sent on a mission, the same as our Lord was sent on a mission. And like our Master, we know that this mission will include suffering. We shouldn't shy away from it. We should be ready for it, steeled for it, waiting for it when it comes. And we know that God will protect us during those sufferings. He'll give us the strength for endurance. He realizes that these servants that he's called are going to need his help. And we look for it, and we're thankful that he's promised it to us. Isaiah tells us that through this suffering will come victory to overcome the world, to follow the Master's footsteps, and have found faithful to be a part of that wonderful class to help dispense the blessings of the kingdom. And finally, Isaiah tells us that this victory will bring glory to God. And brethren, that's our prayer every day, is it not? That we might live our life to bring glory to the Heavenly Father. It was the daily prayer of our Master, and as footstep followers, it's our daily prayer too, that our lives can be a more perfect reflection of his righteousness. And so we would take the words of the prophecies that Isaiah has given to us of this wonderful servant who suffered for the Heavenly Father. And as we consider those wonderful prophecies, may the Lord continue to be with us and guide us, give us the endurance to endure through our sufferings, and let us look forward to that day when, as faithful, we can be with him in glory. We've enjoyed being here very much today. May the Lord continue to be with you until we meet again. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Byron. Indeed, it has been a wonderful day, not only weather-wise, but the climate here has been very good, too. May we send our Christian love along with Brother Byron and along with Brother Wilson back to their home classes, and to any others who are journeying here from far distant places. Brother Byron closes with prayer.
Our most kind and gracious, all-wise, all-loving Heavenly Father, in the name and merit of your beloved Son, Jesus, we thank you for this day of fellowship, this day of worship at thy feet. We pray that we might continue to wait before you as your servants. We pray that we might be strengthened in our mission. We pray that we might be faithful to the goods that have been given to us, the truths that have been given to us, that we might find a place in thy purpose. We ask a blessing upon your dear children around the world, you who know each one individually. We pray that you would guide them and direct them, lead them every step of their way as they walk in the Master's footsteps. And now we ask that you would be with us as we depart from this place. May your Spirit rest on each one of us, encourage us, lead us onward day by day. We continue to wait upon thee. We ask that you would forgive us for the many times we come short of the standard in which we're trying to live up to. We pray that we might be strengthened by our experiences and by our failures, that we might become a more perfect copy of Jesus. We continue to wait upon thee, and especially to pray for thy kingdom to come, and thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. For we long for the day when the world can know you as the loving Heavenly Father that we know now. All these things we ask, and all the things we pray and give thanks for, in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen.